Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the M2 Podcast. I'm your host, Mad Mike. My co-host is Kyle Heath. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm glad to be here.
Of course. Of course, sir. This is the show where we talk about esports and personalities, some gaming industry related news, new and upcoming games, and also some technology and innovation. And Kyle has a good collection of articles and news to go through from the last week. And what do you got for us today, Kyle?
What do I got? Let's go through it. So I'm going to flip screens here and kind of show the first article, the first piece I saw. CES, of course, was last week. And, you know, it's the tech thing in Vegas that, like, every, you know, company's going to at the start of the year to see what the upcoming year has in store. And they talked about, NVIDIA was there, of course, and they talked about a new flagship card as well as a new kind of entry-level budget card that they're going to be adding to their 30 series. So the 3090 Ti, which is the brand new flagship card that's coming out from NVIDIA. I found an article here from Tom's Guide. The writer, of course, was Tony Polanco, and he gave a pretty good kind of in-depth guide about what we know so far about the card. There's no price point yet. NVIDIA just announced this last week, and it was more or less just a tease. They just wanted to kind of let everyone know that this is coming. And no price point was announced. I mean, I know the 3090s retails $1,500, especially according to the article, and then they're thinking, you know, it's people are starting to doubt that it's even going to be like less than $2,000. It's probably going to be like through the roof in price. But so they announced some specs. I'm going to read kind of the quick like paragraph that Tony wrote. He said spec details are scanned from NVIDIA. They didn't really offer too much in the original announcement. It's going to boast 40 share teraflops, 78 ray tracing teraflops, 320 tensor teraflops, and it'll be 24 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory operating at 21 gigabits per second. It's going to have a base and boost speed clocked at 1560 megahertz as well as 1860 megahertz respectively. And the rumored TDP of this card is 450 watts, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's crazy. You're basically going to need a power source of close to like 1,000
like for real.
In order to power that thing.
Yeah. I mean, he even put into perspective, I mean, the 3090 is, you know, I think it's like, he said it's, you know, 100 watts less than what this is rumored to be powered at. So, I don't know. It's interesting to see, but like personally for me, like, especially the 30 series, it's like, there's almost, it's like this veil of like, I'm not even interested because they're so hard to get still. And like, they're still,
oh,
like,
yeah,
it's just ridiculous. Like, and like, for me, like, I know for like my PC, I think I'm like, you know, I built mine 4 years ago. Like, there's no way that my motherboard or my CPU would be able to handle like the power of like a 3070, right, let alone this, you know? So, I mean, doesn't really interest me. I mean, what do you think? Is this something interesting for you, Mike?
I think it's interesting from like an engineering and pushing the limits of technology, yeah, for sure. But it really comes down to is who needs these cards. So I think the main ones are like, you get the enthusiasts that just want to have the biggest, baddest cards you can find. Like the people that they treat their like PCs as if it's a passion project, where they'll do like the water cooling, they'll have the brand new AMD or Intel chip with the highest end GPU.
Yeah.
And they're mostly just like, they just love flashy things. There's that group of people. The next group of people is like, I guess you could say like data miners, stuff, yeah, like that for Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. Although that's kind of been dying off the last year in a weird way. That's like switching over to NFTs now. But then you got, I don't know. What else do you think? I guess computer programmers. Not computer programmers, 3D modelers.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I could see
or
that.
Like,
I mean,
I could see this being in like a high end studio if they're doing rendering for like a movie, you know, in like 4K.
Yeah, you know,
but the price point's out of control.
Yeah, like it's going to be insane. Like just because it's the, you know, the new flagship card. But he goes on to say in the article, the 3090 Ti is designed to be primarily for gaming, but it will no doubt have power necessary for editing audio, rendering videos, and, you know, any, like, cinema, you know, any cinema rigs or anything like that, I'm sure it's going to be, it could be used, you know, just as powerful as anything else. It's weird that it's marketed for gaming, I feel like, but I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, but at this point, it's like just overkill on overkill with especially the new flagship cards that come out.
Yeah. I mean, I think NVIDIA is just trying to maintain their brand as like the king of graphics cards at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of the times, it was really bad with wasn't it like the 2000 series? Like NVIDIA was just coming out with a new card, charging a little bit more, but it was really just the same thing as the previous year.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of prone to doing that, kind of just like milking their customers.
I mean, yeah. So, the whole idea of like a TI card is like, at least, you know, from like past iterations, it was the TI is just essentially an overclocked version of its like base, you know, clock.
Yeah.
So like, you know, 2080 TI and 2080 is, you know, the TI is just a overclocked, like, you know, model that has been tested thoroughly to make sure it stays at that speed, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, isn't it also part of like the silicon lottery? Because yeah. Every time they make one of these cards, like one card can be faster than the other and one can be slower.
Exactly,
they always give the slower ones to the second like tier vendors. They're like, okay, EVGA, here you go. You can have this one. Or like Gigabyte, give it to that one. But it's like if you get the NVIDIA like GeForce Founders edition where it's just all NVIDIA, I think, is like they overclock it even further to make it the fastest possible cards. And it's like it gets to the point where people are just chasing a number on their leaderboards, you know, where they go to do stress testing to see who can actually get the highest score.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it comes to. I mean, the silicon lottery, it's a funny thing. I mean, it affects, you know, CPU market too, especially like CPUs. Oh, I mean,
for sure.
If CPU's you're getting insane. Like you could get, because I know, like, especially back when I built my PC, I'm sure it's still the same, but like whenever you're like shopping around for like a CPU, like if you're to get like a 3700, like you can get like a Ryzen 3700, but it could be better performing than someone else who bought the same exact chip,
yes,
same exact money. Like that's how bad it gets. It's bad.
It's crazy too. It's like they'll tie it into like people like put up entire charts and they'll go really in depth on engineering of like, okay, my CPU or GPU can perform at this frequency for this long at this temperature with this power load with like voltage and all this kind of stuff. It's like, dude, man, I'm just trying to play some games.
Yeah, no, like,
it's trying to play some games and do rendering.
I know, for real. Like it just gets to a point, and like especially where like when I was building my PC, it's like I know when I first, like the first PC I built, I was like very adamant about, like, you know, I was like looking at all the little niche things of like, you know, okay, this chip has like maybe 15 more frames in like PUBG or something like that compared to like another one. And it's like,
oh, for sure.
At the end of the day, it's like it's so like dumb. I think, you know, you don't have to be so like crazy accurate, or like you don't have to worry about getting one chip over the other just because it's like a 10 frame difference. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, I think the problem is for me is I always want the best when I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But then like literally with the graphics cards or CPUs, 3 months later, like the next quarter, they announce, oh yeah, by the way, we got something like about 75% faster. So it's coming out in 6 months. It's like,
yeah,
I should have waited. And then you're just constantly chasing the rabbit hole, like falling into it.
I know. I used to be kind of like that too. Whenever I like first got my PC, it's like, oh man, this is going to be obsolete in 6 months, but you just learn to accept it. And it just, it's what it is. That's the market.
Yeah. It's fact. I got the 2070 Super right before the 3000 series came out.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing that I get to like tell myself like, oh, well, I'd never have the chance to get a 3000 anyway, because they're all sold out. Yeah. And with everything that happened the last year, it's like they can't manufacture them quick enough.
Right.
So,
I mean, they just can't. I mean, the whole supply chain shortage, you know, ever since COVID started, it's very difficult for anyone to keep up. And I think that's why the PS4 and the Xbox, especially, like along with graphics cards, are just, they're always out of stock, because it's just, they can't keep up with the demand. And you know, at this rate, who knows if they're doing it on purpose or if it's still like actually challenging to get this stuff out. I mean, who knows?
There are definitely some industries that I won't go into right now that I know for a fact are, like, stretching the truth, not lying, but stretching the truth about how long, like how bad the supply line is. So it's like sometimes it's just not bad. They got like a bunch artificial scarcity in a warehouse somewhere. Not in this industry, completely different industry.
Yeah. I mean, it affects every industry though, let's be honest.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So yeah,
capitalism, baby.
So then we talked about the 3090 Ti. I wanted to get into the 3050, which is the brand new baseline model that
NVIDIA's I'm excited about this one.
I am too, because I mean, right out the gate, especially looking at the article, it's starting at 250. So it is
January 27th. So that's 20th. At the time of this recording, what is that? Is that
it's what 2 weeks from now?
14 days from now? Yeah, that's how math works. 2 weeks.
Yeah, so 2 weeks, yeah. Yeah, it's coming out soon, January 27th. It's at 250. The article does provide some graphics compared to previous models. And it's like older models too, like the GTX 1650 and the 1050 Ti, which, I mean, those are just ancient at this point.
Those are, yeah, they really are.
And, I mean, since they are RTX cards, they do support the... They do support ray tracing and DLSS, which, again, that alone improves frame rates in a lot of games, not even considering it's a 30 series. Like, forgetting about that. So, I mean, they do provide kind of a chart. But some of the popular titles out right now, Guardians of the Galaxy, Black Ops Cold War, Doom Eternal, you know, the main ones that support ray tracing and DLSS. And so, I mean, as you can see, it blows them out of the water.
Yeah. For people that are audio only right now, you're looking at, well, let's see here. You read it off to them. Basically, the 3050 right now, you're getting above 60 on average.
Yeah. So, the 3050, it's 60 plus average for sure on most like modern day titles. Doom Eternal, obviously, is, I think, pushing the hundreds in terms of FPS because, you know, Doom Eternal is really efficient, right? Like, that's always a game that I know NVIDIA, like, and especially even like AMD, I think when they were promoting their cards, they were using that game as like their this is the new thing, you know?
Yeah, I remember I did a playthrough of that with my 2070 Super, and that's an RTX. And I think I had ray tracing on at 1440p, and I was streaming and recording. And I was getting like 85 frames per second. I was blown away. Yeah. I mean, my computer was definitely running warm, I'll tell you that. but I mean, it was crushing it. It was crushing it.
Yeah. I mean, so there's no doubt 3050 is going to, it's going to be a good card. I mean, the fact that it's, you know, 250, who knows how long that's going to last? Because, I mean, I don't even like regard price anymore, I feel like, with the new cards, because it's just like it's going to get either scalped or, you know, just immediately yoinked, you know? So it's unfortunate, but, the article also goes on to mention other things, you know, like NVIDIA Reflex and some of the other stuff I don't personally know too much about that, you know, NVIDIA has introduced with the Turing series as well as this newer 30 series. So,
yeah, a couple of things here that I would mention on is this NVIDIA broadcast app. I don't think I would ever use it. I think something like OBS Studio is the way to go with the broadcasting app or the recording app. Although it is very convenient when I'm playing on a controller and I'm not actually like using my mouse and keyboard or anything like that. And all I have to do is just like alt tab like G or P or whatever, and actually save the last like 30 to 60 seconds of a gameplay that I want to save.
Yeah, like kind of like Shadow Play.
Yeah, exactly like Shadowplay.
Yeah.
Forgot the name of it.
Yeah, I mean, because like Shadowplay, I know especially when I first got my PC, I always had that on, because it is a really nice feature, but you could literally just like press a couple buttons and you have like the last minute of like what you're playing. It's a really handy feature.
The Xbox app is doing that now. How the console is. You can, if you have the Xbox app, I think it's not the companion, because the companion app has been removed entirely. The Xbox, it's like the Xbox, I might be able to do it right now and find out. See what the actual name's called. It'll come back to me eventually. But basically, it's like you do Windows G and it's like, oh, Game Bar, Xbox Game Bar.
Oh, game, yeah.
And you can set a record of like I think you can get up there by like the time. I think there's some type of background processes that are recording everything, but it erases it after the time expires.
No, yeah.
Super convenient.
Yeah, I think I saw something sometime because I didn't know the full power of Game Bar, but I saw I think you have the ability to like record your screen and stuff like that on like any Windows PC, which I didn't know. I mean, it's pretty cool stuff. I mean, it's definitely pushes a little bit past gaming, even, you know, if you have the ability to just like do a screen recording of like a tech demo in like the, you know, in the software engineering world, like if you're trying to like demo a product to a client, it's a good thing just to have like a quick recording of something rather than screenshots.
Yeah, definitely. So this RTX 3050 that's going for $250, what settings? Can you run like high graphics settings and still get above 60 with ray tracing? Because that's really impressive if you can for $250.
Yeah, so this is this image. So it says in the bottom, measured at 1080p, highest settings, RTX on i9 CPU though. So you have to keep that in mind too. I mean, they're using the best Intel has to offer really right now. For this particular range, they used a pretty top of the line PC, I feel like.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, which, you know, they're going to, right? They want to give you the best numbers, and then in very small text at the bottom of their comparison images, they have to say, oh, by the way, this is on like a $3,000 rig, so good luck. So all of these numbers, I always kind of take these for granted too. Like any image you find online that shows the frames of like games on a particular card, because you just never know. And then I just end up looking, okay, here's my CPU, and I'll type that in along with, okay, give me the benchmarks for my CPU on a certain card, because
that's always true. That always very, very convenient.
Yeah. It's always what you're looking for, really, especially when you're seeing these new graphics cards come out. But yeah, I mean, pretty interesting stuff from NVIDIA. I know they always have some cool things to show off at CES, so it was really no different this year, I feel like. Cool stuff. So, Mike.
Yes.
Have you used a PlayStation VR before?
You know, I never have, but I always wanted to. I think the closest I've ever gotten to a VR is is actually kind of hilarious. I don't remember what year it was, but it was around 2 or 3 years ago. It was right when VR recording came out. So like people would go out and they buy these, like, the only way to like really describe it is it was a webcam or like a really high depth. It's not webcam. It's like a 4K 3D 360 degrees like pole with the camera at the top of it. And it was 360 degrees. And they would go to concerts and they would like stationary the camera and you could pan around with like your phone. You know, do you remember that? Where it was like you just hold up the video with your phone horizontally and you could literally rotate around, move your body left or right, and the camera would also sway.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
When that first came out, they started making those headsets that were like the PlayStation VR headsets, but you slide your phone into it. So I had my phone maybe 2 or 3 inches away from my face watching like Bring Me the Horizon's live concert in like Scotland or something. It was really cool because it was like the cameras on the stage, but it was like virtual reality headsets are the future after I saw that. That was like 3 or 4 years ago I did that. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But PlayStation, I know they've been talking about their VR mm-hmm. for a while now, and I'm really curious to get the rundown on what the VR2 is.
Yeah. So again, at CES, Sony had a show. They showed off a decent amount of stuff. There was kind of some minor announcements they never really talk about too much at CES. But they actually made an announcement about the PSVR 2, which is their new going to be their new VR platform for PS5. And I have to say, reading the specs, it's pretty interesting stuff. And even with their new controllers too, they're calling them the Sense controllers. They have a similar vibe to like the Index, the Valve Index, with I guess like the bars outside I call them bars, but you know, like the piece that goes outside around the knuckles, I guess, to sense the hand movement.
Right. Yeah.
They have something similar on the new Sense controllers. But anyways, I have, for the video viewers, I have a little graphic up here that I got from Push Square. They put out an article pretty much detailing everything we know so far about the PSVR2. And again, some of the specs on the PSVR2 displays, of course, OLED, which was the same on the previous model. The resolution of each eye is substantially better than the previous version at 2000 by 2040 per eye. And it was 960 by 1080 per eye on the last model.
That's about double.
Yeah. Refresh rate is the exact same compared to the last two at 120 hertz and 90 hertz respectively. That's probably dependent on what game you play. Field of view has gone up 10 degrees. It was 100 degrees roughly on the original, and now it's 110 on the newer model. There are also, and one of the major differences I think between that and the first one is there's actually cameras now for inside-out tracking on the Sense controllers, which I think, again, is kind of taking the technology that newer VR systems are taking, where it tracks your finger movement in games too, to kind of give more accurate hand gestures, I guess, in games. The connection type now is USB-C, which is cool to see. I mean, everything's switching to that now, so it kind of just made sense. And there is still built-in mic and stereo headphone jacks for audio. And now it's the new Sense controllers. What's also cool about it is it has the haptic feedback of the PS5 controller, which I know I still haven't experienced. And I don't know if you have, Mike.
I got it right here, my man. Oh, PS5? Baby. Look at this thing.
Oh, look at that. Mike's holding
got
up
it from a
controller.
Buddy of mine.
Ooh.
Yeah. I use that to play Rocket League.
Oh, there you go.
It is amazing. The rumble features, they have rumbles in the triggers and in the palm, where you hold like right at your mm-hmm. lower palm. So you get a different sensation in your hands when you're playing, depending on how the game works. As long as it's integrated, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So I still to this day haven't had a chance to try out that controller, but most of the people I've said that have gotten their hands on it and spent time with it, they say like it's actually kind of game changing the way they're doing the vibrations and like the actual haptic feedback of the controller. Like it was way better than like they could have ever imagined. Like they didn't know they needed or wanted it until they
yes.
actually used yeah. it. So yeah. That is true.
It's very true. It's very true. If mm-hmm. you play with Vibe on, I know some people like competitive gamers and shooters, a lot of people don't use Vibe, believe it yeah. or not. They like to concentrate on, but for the casual gamer, which is the majority of people, that it's the perfect controller, I think. It's super yeah. comfortable. You can play with it for hours. And just having it in your hands, it just, like, you don't want to put the controller down. And I think that's what they intended to do, is make it so you don't stop playing.
Yeah, probably. I'm showing on the screen right now some of the picture of the Sense controllers. So for anyone that hasn't seen them, watching the video version, you can see kind of what I was alluding to, I think, with the Valve Index, you know, kind of over rings almost that go over the hands.
It looks like a cutout of a boxing glove, basically.
It kind of does, yeah.
Like, no, I'm not gonna say brass knuckles, but it's a mixture between the Wii remote mm-hmm. and then just like a giant harness around your hand, which is great because I know people have been like busting up their hands and like playing boxing and accidentally punching walls. That'll yeah. protect you.
That you so. Know, that's a good point that I didn't think about. Like, I'm sure, you know, functionally it's there for, you know, probably movement, but also like,
oh, yeah.
physically, it'll be nice to have a barrier between you and like your TV or your wall, you know?
Absolutely. And you can see, I mean, it appears that they have straps on your forearms too.
Yeah. Because that is shown in the image as well.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think most of them do, which is the smart play, is to have, you know, yeah. that safety there. Yeah, there's, the article does go on to talk about, I guess, a little bit more of the actual Sense controllers and kind of show those off a little bit. It's a lot different, of course, from the PS Move wands, I think the original, like, PlayStation wands, which I think are usually the first VR platform that they had.
Yes,
I mean, again, just from looking at them, I think there's a whole lot more functionality to these new ones.
I would hope so. It's been several years of technology growth, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, like, they've had time, right? So, I think, I don't know, Sony, I haven't tried PSVR, but from what I've heard, you know, relatively good things about it, especially, you know, for it being a console-only VR platform, it's, you know, pretty good from what I've heard. So, with the power of the PS5, I'm sure this is going to be cool as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just reading the article right now. It says finger sensing. The PSVR2 Sense controllers have a touch sensor which can detect when you're gripping the pad. This will allow you to make more natural gestures with your hands in game, allowing you to close your fist or open out a palm depending upon the context of your situation. That's pretty cool. Yeah, this is going to be the ultimate VR gear, basically.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I'm kind of hoping almost that this, like, that they, you know, the whole gesture feedback from just the hands, they can really utilize that in games. And it sounds like they may have it. Article also goes on to talk about, of course, the haptic feedback, which I was alluding to earlier from the original controller. It gives the textured interactions, as they say. And there's also adaptive triggers on it, which, of course, I think is even on the regular DualSense controller.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, I mean, these are definitely not cheap controllers they're shipping with this thing. That is for sure. They also talked about, I mean, just real briefly, I'll mention, there is a Horizon-based VR game that is set to launch with this headset. It's a different game from Horizon Forbidden West, which is set to come out next month at the time of this recording. But this is completely different, completely programmed for VR. So it's going to be a unique experience, I think, for the PSVR2.
That's a good idea. It sounds like they're essentially making a game entirely to showcase this new product.
Yeah.
And new technology.
Yeah. You know, as they should, I feel like, you know, if you're going to launch something like this with this kind of power, it's you hope they have some devs in the background working on some stuff for the launch.
Oh, yes.
So, sounds like they definitely got some first-party contenders at the start of this. But yeah, there's not too much else about the article. They went pretty in-depth for a CES show on this, so.
Yeah, the graphic chart, too. When I see charts like that, the data points, they have the field of view from the previous version at 100 degrees FOV.
Yeah.
And the other one's 110 degrees. And that made me question. I was like, well, you're putting the headset on. How much of your eyesight is a natural FOV, right? So I go to my best friend Google, and apparently horizontal FOV is 135 degrees and vertical FOV is 180 degrees in the human eye.
Oh, wow.
So I guess that's the limit. I've also looked into the limit of like FPS for your human eye is apparently close to about 1,000 FPS, which means that refresh rate needs to go from 120 to 1,000 next 10 years.
Yeah,
I think 135 FOV.
You know, I think it's safe to say Sony dropped the ball on this, you know.
Yeah, clearly. I'm just trying to relive, or like I'm trying to live in the world of Ready Player One.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
I mean, it sounds like until we get 1,000 hertz refresh rate, we're not going to be there.
No.
But I don't know. That's pretty funny stuff. I mean, so Mike, CES happened. It was great, right? Great conference.
Right.
But you know what is not happening this year? Can we talk about it? Yeah. E3 2022 cancels the in-person event. The digital show remains uncertain still. We don't even know if we're going to get a digital show yet. They haven't announced anything. So
they have to do a digital show.
I'm thinking so too.
Half the reason people go to E3, like the developers, is to showcase their trailers. They've made their trailers already.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, post it to YouTube. Like, how difficult is it to go to YouTube and do a live stream for E3? E3 has their own website, stream it there.
Yeah.
Can't be that difficult.
I mean, yeah. I love E3. And I know most, like, there's probably a lot of people that are like, eh, about E3.
There's that, like, for me, there's a bit of a nostalgia of like,
exactly.
Oh, E3's coming up. Like, I got to watch E3. And then there's the other bit where other people are like, and sometimes I fall into this of E3's not as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
So they're over it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think I certainly, especially the past couple of years, I just haven't gotten as excited for E3 as I used to. Because I know you were in, you know, kind of this generation too, but I mean, I used to love like tuning into G4 on TV.
Yes.
And watching like the showcase. Like,
yeah.
Oh man. It's,
and they had the reruns going for like days too. Just
yeah,
in case
man.
You
like
missed.
This is like pre-internet, you know. So it's like,
you know what? You just like, you brought me all the way back. I think that's why I made a YouTube account way back then, because like you, to find the trailers again, you had to find somebody that was like recording their their TV screen at like 480p, and I think that's how I got a YouTube account back in like 2005. I was like, let me go check this out. This is cool.
Yeah, that's how you had to do it, man. So again, there's definitely nostalgia there for me. So you know, as watching like, you know, Wii showcase, like the showcase of the Wii and like Wii games and like Nintendo's conference and all that was like always so cool. And I remember watching that on TV. So like, I personally love the internet era of, you know, you could just flip open a browser and see announcements, and like especially when like when I was in high school and going into college, for me, like I would always look forward to like tuning into Twitch, you know, in June and watching the show. And like, I love that. And then whenever, I'm trying to remember when did PlayStation back out of E3? Is that 2019 or 20?
I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
There, it was before everything happened, right? So yeah. I remember PlayStation backed out. And there was some big studio head that pulled out one of their announcements for like a big game that was coming out. And they just went dark. And they were like, yeah, we're not doing E3 anymore. And then I remember publishers saying, they were just like, yeah, we feel like we don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it, but come on.
I mean, like, know? Yeah, like,
come on.
It's like, an event, man. Like, it's just, it's kind of frustrating. Like, because especially like when Bethesda started doing their conference, I guess it was like 2015, I think was their first conference. And that was back when Bethesda was like killing it, man, you know, like didn't have a bad game. Everyone was loving Fallout and Elder Scrolls and all that. Skyrim was on top.
Remember when Bethesda couldn't do any wrong? Remember those days?
I think about it on a weekly basis, I swear to God. But so yeah, I mean, when Sony backed out though, for me, that was like, that kind of hurt me a little bit. I was like, eh, like that was one of the main, like I always,
yeah,
I haven't been like a Sony pony, but like I've always loved seeing their conference, especially. So,
I mean, they're a powerhouse. You got to respect them
for real.
Like that's really what it comes down to. It's like they always have good games, or at least games that make you excited.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
It's like, oh, I'm interested. Let me check this out.
Yeah. I mean, as I got into more single player games too, I mean, their first party studios are single player heavy, and they've always been like that. Like all their first party studios are, they take the single player experience and they make it the best it can be. So, when they backed out, it was kind of like, eh. And then, you know, I've loved the digital shows. I think they're great too. I mean, again, Sony's not there, but Sony also pulled back and they started doing their, what's the name of it? It's like their showcase show that they do. Cause they did one show. They do have a show at the end of every year, which was like kind of their recap show. But they stopped doing that, and now they do, it's like Nintendo Directs, but for Sony. I don't know why the name's leaving me.
I think it's just Showcase.
PlayStation Showcase, it might be.
I think it's just PlayStation Showcase. They did it back in September of 2021.
Yeah. That's probably what I'm thinking of then.
Yeah, it's just Showcase.
Yeah. So, I mean, they pulled out of E3, started doing their showcases, and that's, I guess, their way of, you know, announcing things, which is cool. I always love...
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
They always hit at good times, too, I feel like, when we don't really have much news, and they're like, oh, we have a showcase next week. I hope you tune in. Like, that's kind of a...
Yeah.
So, it's, I mean, I don't know. It's still cool to see. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I hope E3 is not in the dust. But then again, you know, between like the Sony stuff and like Nintendo doing their own directs, and then you know, Jeff Keighley's also doing the Summer Game Fest every year now. He's been doing that, you know, since COVID started. So there's going to be announcements and stuff to look forward to, obviously. So it's, you know, won't be the end of the world if E3 is over, but I don't know. My nostalgia will hurt a little bit.
Yeah, but at least we got YouTube. We can go back and rewatch some of the stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Look at this video right here on the timeline. Top 10 E3 conferences of all time. So obviously other people are nostalgic.
Oh,
like us.
There's everybody that's, you know, probably born before 2000 is nostalgia to a certain extent. I didn't read this before, but they E3 ESA, I guess, did put out a public statement saying why they were canceling the event, and they said, quote, due to the ongoing health risks surrounding COVID-19 and its potential impact on the safety of exhibitors and attendees, E3 will not be held in 2022. We remain incredibly excited about the future of E3 and look forward to announcing more details soon. Hopefully a digital event, but I'm not going to get my hopes up. So yeah, we will see how that all unfolds in the coming weeks, because I'm assuming they will have an announcement soon.
Such a shame too.
Yeah.
So where was it originally? It was supposed to be located in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, they always do it in LA.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And whatever. That's, I know like every brand, I think every like Xbox always did like Microsoft Theater, I think. And I don't know where,
yes,
you know, most of the others did it, but, and it, I think it changed too. It was mostly maybe in San Diego. I don't remember the exact city. Cause I think it wasn't always LA. I don't think. Anyway,
I think,
but yeah,
they've been slowly but surely having, some studios do video conferencing in to E3.
Yeah.
So it's like some of the studios are at Seattle and San Francisco, so they're just like, oh, let's do a quick little presser, send it down to them, and then they'll post it on the live stream and then in the audience for the big projectors and stuff.
Right. But, yeah, it's because I know I feel like also just double back to the digital shows, I think it's certainly easier for studios probably because they just have a pre-made thing, they do it, send it off, and then it's less time to worry about, you know, making their game look super pretty. So there's benefit there, I guess, for everyone, but
I wonder, because at E3 a lot of the times they'll have new games or they'll have games in beta that are playable to the audience members, right? I'm curious if, because this is my diagnostic of like the way games are being developed now, with games not being finished really until the first or second update that comes after the release of the game, that they don't have anything to showcase anymore. Like more and more studios just are releasing unfinished games to be updated later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, how are you going to showcase games at E3 if they're not finished?
Yeah, that's a good point. I know we could go on and on about studios not finishing games. I think that could be a 4-hour show easy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, just beating a dead horse at that point.
Yeah. Oh, man. But that actually is a nice little segue, because speaking of unfinished games, Horizon Forbidden West had a build in I guess a pretty late build in the production that actually ended up leaking online, and this is weeks before the actual release. And an article comes from Video Game Chronicles. Andy Robinson over there made a write-up on this. It says here, quote, an early build of Guerrilla Games' Horizon Forbidden West was leaked into the public domain. I think it was via Reddit. It got leaked. So
it's always Reddit.
It's always Reddit, man.
It's always Reddit.
I'll read off a little bit of the article as well. This was Monday, January 10th. There were some images that claimed to be the PS4 version of the game. They started circulating on social media. The Video Game Chronicle has since been told that the leaked build is indeed legitimate, and other than some missing art assets, contains the entire core content plan for the final game. And I guess following the publication of a bunch of these images, there was actually on Twitter There was copyright claim holders that started taking down these images, which further leads to the legitimacy, I think, of these images.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of where this game's at. I mean, the game is set to launch February 18th, and it is not even January 18th yet, and there's a build in the wild. So what do you think, Mike?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So I never got a chance to play Horizon to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I understand some of the story, but I've always wanted to play it.
Yeah.
And I would be, if I'm like a diehard Horizon fan, I've been looking forward to this new game coming out for a while now. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the game gets leaked and people start spoiling it for me. It's kind of like I'm missing out on the excitement that the game could provide when it's completely finished and I buy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. Definitely.
And I would hate it for the diehard fans because it just, the story spoilers, like you'd never know what you're going to see on online. Like you could just go through Twitter. It's like, if you're a diehard fan, that's going to pop up unannounced. There's not going to be a spoiler, like a spoiler warning.
Yeah. I mean, there's
just
not.
Like, yeah, it's like, here's the big thing that happens. And then you can't watch it. Like, cool. You know what I mean? I'd be very upset.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that too, because like the article goes on to talk about some like Last of Us Part Two back in early 2020.
Yes, yeah, that was a big one that got leaked.
A huge plot point got leaked. Thankfully, I somehow dodged it. I don't even, like, to this day, I don't know how I dodged it because it was literally everywhere. And like after I beat the game, oh man, I saw it everywhere. But yeah, I mean, it was a huge, you know, it was like a major plot point that happens early on in the game too. I mean, which,
oh yeah, but it made some people, like, I know people that didn't play the game because of that leak that happened with Last of Us Part Two.
Yeah, because it upset them.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't describe the leak. I mean, if there's someone out there,
absolutely not.
It's been a year and a half. But anyways, I'm not gonna talk about it.
Yeah. We got 2 years. After 2 years, we start spoiling.
Yeah, 2 year limit. Get on it. It's like a 30-hour game too, so you better get on it if you haven't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that it happens pretty early on in the game, which maybe if you haven't seen it, it's kind of unexpected because you would think it, like looking at the screenshots, it's like, oh okay, well that's at the end of the game, whatever. And then it happens at the beginning, so it's like, whoa, okay, yeah. What?
It's like, where is this going?
Yeah. So yeah, it kind of loses that. I think this is kind of in a similar vein. And it sucks. I mean, you know, especially if you're looking forward to this game. It's not something you want to see. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, man. I'm going to try to avoid it. I think I wanted to try and play this game before, like the first one before the second one came out. So, I mean, if I have time, I'll get to it. But I'm certainly going to try to avoid things myself because I even if I found it and I may not know what it is, it's still like, I'm going to find out pretty quick probably from playing the game. So, yeah, I'm just going to try to avoid it. So, you know, if you got to mute words on Twitter, I would say do it.
Yeah, definitely do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see what I had next. So this is maybe a little bit for me, but you may find this interesting too. There is a Fallout TV show in the works, and I think this has been talked about before. Like, it was announced a while ago. I think they were trying to find a director for it, and they already have funding. It's gonna be through Amazon Prime, which is a great thing.
Good.
Like, that's really good that they were able to get Prime on board because everyone has it. But they actually they're moving forward with the series officially with Jonathan Nolan directing. For those who don't know, he worked on the pilot for Westworld. Kind of on that show on HBO.
Yeah, I believe so. Let's look at. I'll look up his discography. I don't know. Yeah. I barely passed grade school.
But yeah, so he is set to direct this post-apocalyptic adaptation of the video game. And looking at the article, didn't read ahead of time like a poor host. They go on to, the article kind of goes on to talk about, you know, for those that don't know about the Fallout franchise, because this article comes from Deadline, which is, I believe, just kind of a media site. They talk about pretty much, you know, all things media, whether it's movies, TV shows, and all that. So they go on in the article to kind of talk about, okay, well, here's the history of Fallout real quick so that people who are maybe not familiar with it understand it. But yeah, so this actually, so this talks about a little bit of the history. So following months after deal-making, Amazon Studios in summer 2020, they licensed the rights to the game for the directors to develop a TV adaptation under their overall deal with a streamer and handed the project a series commitment. So yeah, it was summer 2020 is when the series was first announced that it was happening. So it's good to hear that they finally are moving forward. I'm certainly excited to see the show. I'm a huge Fallout fan. I always have been. Won't talk about 76. I just won't. Be honest with you.
Last time we did, you were ranting for a good 20 minutes.
Yeah, maybe another time. That episode is out there still, huh? Yeah,
you can probably see it. Definitely is.
Previous episode that I was a guest on. But yeah, so I mean, Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, I couldn't get enough of. I put, especially on console, New Vegas, I think I put like easily 1,000 hours in. I mean, I loved that game. And it's funny too, because I went back to it last year, I think, because there was a fan working on fan-made DLC. It was like, that was like on the level of like their studio in terms of like production value. It was great. But after a few hours, I couldn't get into it. Like, and I feel like it was just the game's UI was just, I'm so used to like, I'm like so spoiled by current UI today for most games. It's like, I literally had to leave. Like, I just couldn't do it.
I feel like some developers are regressing when it comes to UI design. It's like, guys, I saw better UI playing Mario Tennis on N64. Like, what are we doing here?
Like, for real, man. It's I don't know. I just, it's, the UI is definitely dated in that game. And I don't know. I tried downloading some mods. It was so much work getting mods to work on that game, because it is like a whole thing to hook it up to like the mod manager of like Nexus, and it's a project.
Nexus has a load of stuff. I swear, every time I go to my Google News and try to find stuff that's happening, like I just see Nexus mods, GTA 4 or GTA 5, I mean, and then like they dive into, I think they had Witcher on there a couple of times, Minecraft. I'm just like, how much stuff you guys got? Like all the titles. Like, that's pretty cool.
It's crazy. Like, I didn't notice that too until last year. I went on Nexus, and like they've really expanded the game reach that they have. It's cool to see. There was a lot of games I didn't know you could mod through Nexus, so it's probably the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. So I really like that these video games and the stories of games, because there are a lot of games that have really, really good stories.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout being definitely up there. And they're making series about it for TV. And I think that's a lot to do with what was probally the biggest one. Like, you originally started with HBO, right? HBO was the king of like special series initially. Like, mm-hmm. before Game of Thrones, they were doing like Band of Brothers and The Pacific.
Oh yeah.
It was like the like super high blockbuster. Every episode was a movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's really cool that they like The Witcher's coming out. I mean, that was a book first. It's like The Witcher doing that. Then we got Fallout. Halo did a series. I think that was on Netflix.
I thought that was coming out.
Forward Unto Dawn.
Yeah, Forward Unto Dawn, yeah.
But they're also making another one.
They're doing, I think Paramount has the rights, right? It's like Paramount Plus.
Yes. I can't confirm. I think in the works, but it's also been in the works for the last, Halo series and movies have been in the works for like 15 years since Halo 2 came out.
Dude. Yeah.
So we'll see. It's hard to make a main character when you don't see his face and he doesn't talk.
That's a good point.
That's why Spielberg or whoever it was backed out.
I believe it. The Fallout series, when you were talking on video game series and like movies and stuff like that, I know one movie in particular I'm looking forward to is the Uncharted movie coming out next month. It's got Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg.
I saw the trailer first time on the plane. I was flying back, and they showed that. I'm like, what? Like, I didn't think they were doing it Uncharted.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they announced it a while ago. I think they filmed it like late 2020 or something like that. It was a while ago. It was like, it was around the time when like movies started like figuring out the swing of things with COVID and like how to actually do it safely.
Yeah.
So Yeah, that's been in the works for a while, but I mean, it's, from what I hear, it's kind of a slightly different adaptation, because I think Nathan Drake and Sully are younger versions of what's in the video game, so but I'm sure it'll still be pretty good. I know like Nolan North, who did the voice for Nathan Drake in the games, he was kind of on set a lot, and I'm sure he had his input in the story and everything, so I know they're making that movie good. But also in terms of TV shows, video game TV shows, there's a newer Last of Us series. I believe that's actually coming out on HBO. They finished production on that recently. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I did actually hear that as well. And I would absolutely love to see a Last of Us series. That has so much potential. Even if it's not the same characters, just in that world.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's HBO, so like, I feel like they're not gonna mess it up. But I could be wrong.
They never miss.
They don't. So yeah, I mean, good to see that, you know, they're finally moving forward with the Fallout show. I'm hoping it's good. I'm kind of curious to see how they're gonna do it though, because again, there's no real like main character that's like throughout the series that you're kind of following, at least in the newer games. So curious to see what they're gonna do.
Yeah, it has a lot of potential.
For sure. So that was kind of like the last main story. I did want to possibly talk about some quick Halo thing.
Sure.
With
Before
we get into the minds discussion, the cheating discussion, which I definitely want to get to. We'll spend like the last little bit on that. So new Halo news. BTB's been in a pretty bad state for those that have been playing Infinite recently. And Sketch put out a blog post on Halo Waypoint, pretty much discussing what their next plans are for updates. And I won't read the whole thing, but he essentially said that BTB is being looked into. There will be a fix relatively soon, they hope, coming to the playlist. So it'll actually be playable. I mean, because for those that don't know, Big Team Battle on Halo Infinite has been in a very poor state, and it's been hard to even find matches in the playlist for a lot of people. So they're looking into it, and they should have a fix soon. They also go on to talk about cheating, because cheating in multiplayer in that game is in a very annoying state as well, I know, for most people. So they are looking into, I guess, all the heavy-hitting stuff that fans have been talking about. Anyway, quick thoughts on this, Mike?
I mean, Big Team Battle is quintessential Halo. Halo is a really old franchise, and because it's a really old franchise, it well, first of all, before I get started, it's a sandbox game in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And almost literally, because Halo 3, one of the first times they ever had a Forge editor, and Forge being a map maker, was on a map called Sandbox. So it's a game that you can make mini games inside the game. It's not just a shooter. And that, you don't even get into the story part after that, or you get into like trick jumping or the competitive scene. So they have a lot of shoes to fill when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. But one thing that's like always been a Halo thing is Big Team Battle. Big Team Battle not working in Halo is as if Battlefield only allows 8 people on a map. You know what I mean? It's just, when you think Battlefield, it's like there's going to be 60 people running around aimlessly. It's going to be complete chaos. Right. Big Team Battle is a staple mark, like a staple of what Halo Infinite is, or Halo in general. So it not working is a big problem. And the main issues that they're really having right now is just networking and matchmaking issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's just a buggy mess.
Yeah. I mean, for those that follow Halo at all, especially Infinite, I mean, I'm sure everyone's heard about the desync, you know, pleas and cries to please fix the desync and, you know, all the network stuff that's going on with multiplayer. I don't know. Again, we could go on and on. But it's good to see Sketch coming out and giving a post here so that I guess he'll help people out. Although I think with any of these posts, you know, they always get their fair share of backlash, and people are like, and people don't read it, and they're like, oh, what are you doing about cheating? And it's like, it's in the post. Anyway.
There are a couple of things that go with the outrage of the updates and communication with the 343 Industries, the makers of Halo now, the last 4 games?
Yeah.
Three games?
Yeah.
Four, I guess. But like the point is I don't think people have patience anymore. But I'm going to sound old, but back in my day when there was like Xbox Live was brand new and the lag and the disconnects that I experienced in Halo Infinite remind me of stuff back then. And I understand why people are upset because it's like, it's 2022. We shouldn't be having 2005 problems here.
Yeah.
But I agree with that to an extent, but it's like, it could be way worse, man.
Yeah.
It could be way worse.
Definitely.
So,
yeah, I mean, I'll be curious to see how 343 digs their way out of a lot of those the next couple months. I hope them the best. And I know, I know a lot of the issues, especially with this game, I know like pretty much every multiplayer game faces at some point in their, you know, especially newer games.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm sure they'll be able to, you know, fix it to a certain extent. I mean, my only fear is like desync and stuff like that. They'll definitely be able to, I think, improve upon, you know, the connection issues, but they may not 100% be able to like take it out in every instance. You know, there may always still be a slip up every now and again with the network, but there's definitely things avenues they can take to alleviate a lot of that. So,
yeah, I think playing the game on LAN, how it's really intended, is that was a blast. That I had zero difficulties. It played fantastic. There were issues with the game just being buggy. It's like you could tell that they kind of rushed out the door. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But the issues that they're people complaining about online with all these networking desync issues or cheaters. It's like you don't have that at LAN. So there's potential. Like there's if they can make it more similar to LAN without desync, without the lag, without the cheaters, then we're gonna be okay. But the cheating and stuff in this game, they really need to fix because the game doesn't have an anti-cheat right now. You can do whatever you want. And they publicly said that they're not taking care of the cheaters until like February. And who knows if it actually works.
Right.
You know?
I mean that's
and there's no reporting system either. There's no in-game reporting system.
Yeah, that's the thing. The fact that like even reporting, I think they had like a system where you like go to their website and report. Was that a thing at one point? Or am I
Yeah, but
it was like really
weird. Who's checking that?
I mean nobody like this is the thing.
That's manual check.
Yeah.
That's not automated.
Like, if I click to report someone in game and it takes me to a browser, like, how much of a click through rate do you think you're going to have for people to actually report, especially the Halo community? Like,
yeah, they're way too patient. They'd rather just go to Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, sketch right here and just be like, you need to fix this.
Yeah. Which we've definitely seen. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Hope for the best on 343 getting that fixed because they need to do it soon. So. Yeah.
I personally think this is the best game they've released under the 343 Industries like umbrella.
Yeah.
It's the best game they've released.
Definitely. Especially at launch. God. You go on about Halo 5 and Master Chief Collection. It was I don't remember too much of Halo 5. I've only heard the stories. I remember MCC was, you couldn't even find matches, right? For like the first while.
Matches? The game didn't work. Dude. Find matches.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Find matches was after the first patch. The game wouldn't work when you got it. And then they did a patch and you couldn't find matches after that.
Oh, dude, never mind. I remembered wrong. Never mind.
Oh yeah. That was probably the only thing that's worse than that was Fallout 76, I think.
Yeah. I mean I'm trying to remember with 76, I think you could still like find games, but it's like it was so restricted and buggy, like there's no point.
Yeah, and like people were cheating and unlocking things too.
Yeah, they would cheat, man. Say like there was people were finding like I remember that game too. People were like finding like the developer rooms because like they would like go off map and like they would find like the testing rooms and stuff that the devs would use to like test stuff out. It's like that's bad.
I think that's really cool, but I think it's really messed up that
Yeah,
they were using it to like destroy other people's stuff.
Yeah, oh, dude.
Man. They're using it maliciously.
Very bad. Very bad for sure. Anyways, again, best of luck to 343. But I wanted to, I would say we should probably wrap it up soon. I do want to get to the mines thing, but I think that's our last story anyway. So I don't have too much to show. I know I linked some tweets kind of in our show notes. But
the drama.
I'd rather just kind of sit here and talk about it anyway. I know it was originally Druck, I think, that put out a for the Kansas City Pioneers. He put out a tweet, a video tweet, accusing Mines on BBG of cheating. And it was, at least from what I saw, and, you know, I'm not like super, you know, I'm not definitely not a high tier player by any means. It was a little suspect, for sure, I think, when I first saw it. And then I further saw, and correct me if I'm wrong, I further saw other people trying to post gameplay, trying to accuse him. And but I mean, yes. I know you know the most, so I am curious to hear your thoughts on all this, Mike.
Yeah, I know plenty because I'm not gonna say I'm close with Mines, but we play Halo 2 together. We've played Halo Infinite together, and it's not like I know him as a friend, but I know we're in the same community together where we're aware of what's happening.
Yeah.
So pretty much to give a good explanation of what happened is you have Built by Gamers, which is a pretty famous, I believe, website and org.
Yeah.
And they also have Kansas City Pioneers. They were in a finals match on Saturday and the winner gets $10,000. And Built by Gamers, that's the team that Mines is on, ends up winning. So they won the 10K. The following day, Druck 84, I think his numbers are.
But I think it's so. Actually,
I have it right here, believe it or not. Let's see if I can. Yeah, Druck 84, D-R-U-K 84, made a 25-minute YouTube video going through the VOD in theater mode of Halo Infinite of Mines' entire POV and called out different areas where he was like, this guy is using wall hacks. He can see us through the walls. Every decision he's making is crazy. Like, the only way he would make those decisions is if he knew exactly where we were.
Yeah.
And he's taking angles and he's shooting walls of where players are. So yeah. He reiterated that. It goes micro viral in the Halo community. Maybe not micro. I think it went viral in the Halo community, but the Halo community, at least the competitive scene, is small.
Yeah.
But definitely. Everybody knows about it. So what ends up happening is Mines had to release a tweet basically stating that he's innocent and he's saddened by the news that he's being accused. Kansas City Pioneers, the teammates, I don't think the actual team or org has officially made accusations, but the team, the players, made accusations against Mines again. And Built by Gamers has backed up their player and basically said he's legit and all this other stuff, and basically backing up Mines. I've personally seen the footage, and some, I would say most of the clips that I saw, I can make like reasons, rational decisions of why he would do things a certain way.
Yeah.
There was one in particular that I was just like, I think I'm a little bit biased because him and I use the same controller and I would shoot there by mistake. So it's like, it's a little bit suspect, but it's not enough. Like, I'm not going to say I know the guy's character, but I know him well enough. I would think he wouldn't cheat. He's really, really good. Like, ridiculously good.
Yeah.
And he's one of the smartest Halo players I've seen and played with. So
definitely
just, and I'm sure it's not the first time he's been accused of cheating, to be honest, because of how good he is.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, I think, is, especially everyone at top tier, I think, you know, so if they're like kind of newer to the scene too, it's kind of like, you know, it's easy to accuse someone who's, you know, it's super easy. I mean,
that's one of the things is, with Halo Infinite, this is the first Halo that everybody came back to play again.
Yeah.
So you have, Mines played Halo 5 for like 2 years or something like that. He was at a pro level in that game, like semi-pro level. He played really, really well.
Yeah.
And Druck, I think, was a Halo 5 pro. So he did Halo 5 like for 6 years the whole time, I think. I don't know his entire career, so don't hold me as fact. But that's my perception of him and his team. Whereas mine's has been like mostly Halo 4 doing online tourneys, and like Halo 5, Halo 4 kids don't, that's not a cross competitive community. They don't play with each other usually. And same thing going with like him playing Halo 2 or Halo 3. It's like the game crossover of esports, there's only a few players that are good at every game.
Yeah.
And like I could kind of name them on a hand. Like there's not many of them.
Right.
But I would say Mines is definitely good at pretty much all of them. He's just a freak.
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of people like that. And I don't know. I mean, from what I've seen from, you know, the gameplay I've seen of him, especially, you know, today when they even played in the Pro Series, like, I mean, he's a good player. Like, I'm not going to deny that. Like, I mean, I don't know. The dude's good. Like, I mean, again, I'm not like super attuned to like high tier Halo. So, I mean, like, is he cheating? Probably not. But, you know, people want to find an excuse, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of interesting because we're filming on Thursday, which is the Pro Series.
Mm-hmm.
And Mine's team got knocked out, I think, second round of winners. But it's double elimination. So now he's in the lower bracket, or losers is what people call it. And they just went against Druk's team and they swept them 2-0 and knocked them out of the tournament. I don't know where they're going now or how far they've gotten, but they secured top six. And the crazy thing is that nobody's really talking about is Mines played awful during that 10K tournament. He had a negative KDA, which is a kill death assist ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually what people use as like if you're playing good or bad. His was negative. He played bad.
Yeah.
But in Raleigh, he was the best player on his team by KDA. He had like three times the highest on his team. Like, Demon he's not. Man. Yeah, that's what Demon I'm saying. Like, he's man, not. Baby. He's not bad.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about his life, where he lives, and he doesn't have the best internet connection. Mm-hmm. He can't stream regularly because of his internet connection. So it's just like more and more things piling on. And people holding the fact of this 25-minute video that Druk put out, and I think he put it out a little bit carelessly. I know he was frustrated, and he probably felt highly legitimized, which is why, like, why else would you release it and make an accusation like that? You have to be very serious. But I think he's misled, because we just talked about Halo Infinite being a buggy. The theater mode is awful.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. God. Like, what you see in the, first of all, in the game, there's desync, which basically means that what you're seeing, what your opponent's seeing, and what the server is seeing, those three things could be completely different.
Right.
Which is why people feel like they're getting shot through walls or behind walls, or like their shots aren't registering. Like, they're just blank bullets.
Yeah.
That same thing is shown in theater mode. Depending on who's watching the VOD, it'll appear differently.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It shouldn't be that way. So now it's like, maybe the game's broken. It just goes to show, it's like there's too many cheaters. There's not an anti-cheat. You can't tell for certain who's legit and who's not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the big thing. It's, you know,
that's really what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. The game's in, it's still early. Like, it's still young, right? Like, we don't, I mean, until they get like a lot of this stuff fixed, I think it's going to be kind of hard to say, especially if they're like basing off theater mode. I like actually forgot that he put out that 25-minute YouTube video. Like, he went
He went in on everything.
Yeah.
And the problem is that it didn't seem like he would. Like, one of the things you got to realize, at high level Halo, you don't have a radar. Mm-hmm. So you don't know where people are.
Yeah.
But what you do have instead of a radar is communication with your three other teammates. Or people on a team.
Right.
If you're communicating properly, and if you play the game for thousands of hours, when you kill somebody, you can look around the map and you can tell where your players are, your teammates are, where the enemy team is, and where that guy that you just like eliminated is going to respawn.
Yeah.
You can have a really like estimated guess of where they're going to be. And the more you play, the more angles you have, the more you know like where people like to hide, where they don't like to hide. Like, what's a successful, like, how do you put yourself in a point that gives you an advantage over somebody else and try not to be taken advantage of when you put yourself in, like, a bad point?
Yeah.
Point being a position on the map. So it's a very, very messy situation.
Mm-hmm.
And
from what I understand, the most interesting thing is added is I was listening and watching Royal 2, who's like one of the biggest names in competitive Halo. He was doing a live stream, had Mines on, and he also had Neighbor. Neighbor was an ex-employee, one of the pro team members from 343.
Mm.
And what they did is he was one of the big pros from, I think, Halo 4, Reach. I mean, he's basically been known since Halo 2.
Mm-hmm.
Really high up there. He was on Straight Ripping, if anybody knows those names. And this guy got signed to 343, so he's in the know. And he was saying, he's like, I'm pretty sure like 343 can do a diagnostic from the games and determine whether or not Mines is cheating.
Yeah.
They have that capabilities, which makes sense. Remember the tech preview, the flight that we did?
Yeah.
We had to give them all our information on our computers.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. I mean, yeah, I'm sure even from a dev perspective, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they had that level of that level of monitoring. So, we'll see. I think I'd be kind of interested to see like a full investigation on this, like full investigation in quotes.
I think they need to.
Yeah.
I think it's gone viral. It went on Dextero. It went on. It went on a lot of gaming magazines and websites. There are like massive Twitter handles. Like Nick Mertz, like responded to one of the accusations. It was like, isn't this one of those kids that we played Twitch rivals against? It's like Nick Mertz, doesn't he have like 2 million, 3 million followers on
something
Twitch,
like that,
on Twitter?
Yeah. It's like stupid him, amount.
Yeah, it's like he hits it once. How many people immediately get notified? 1 million, probably.
Oh, yeah. The impressions, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Ghost followers, they all get the impression. Like, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of hope it happens because I'd just be curious to see, you know, what the outcome is. But I think, you know, probably most of the high-level players, I think at this point, know that, you know, he's probably not cheating. But we'll see.
Yeah. There's a couple of things. So a lot of people don't know from a casual standpoint who Mines is.
Mm-hmm.
But the people in high-level Halo do.
Yeah.
They played with or against him. Right. So it's like... Basically, the way to tell, a little inside secret, the way to tell who thinks they're legit and who thinks they're cheating is who they're scrimming. Because if they're playing against certain teams, they're going to allow, like, why would you want to play against a cheater?
You know
what I mean? It's like, no, he's legit. I'm not going to play, like, I'll play with him.
Yeah.
So that's how you find out which pros think he's legit and which ones don't.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. God, crazy stuff. We'll see. See what happens.
Developing situation. We got. I think it'll be sorted out soon.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, who knows? We may have an update next week. Hopefully. I also wanted to mention in that pro series, something I noticed, looking at the bracket, like just glancing at it real quick before we went on, is that I've been following Status Quo pretty close, Flamesword's team.
Those
poor guys. Did you see how they played in this pro series today?
Oh no. How bad is it?
Oh man. They went up against FaZe first round. At least I think it was FaZe. They got 2-0'd right off the bat.
That's and a then, good team. FaZe is.
And then they in the losers bracket they got placed against Space Station. That was another 2-0 in favor of Space Station.
And they got knocked out.
Yep, first rounded both accounts. So
that's rough. Like,
yeah,
they should be able to beat Space Station, those two rosters.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I love Space Station, I love mm-hmm. Status Quo, but it's online, you got to remember that.
Yeah,
like Status Quo in Raleigh placed pretty high, they had to fight,
yeah,
out
they
of
did
open
well.
Bracket.
Yeah, they fought out, they got like 16th, didn't they? I think overall,
yeah, they went, I might have been 12th, I don't know for sure, but they went up there. They're really impressive, but to lose a pro series right off the rip, something's going on with the team. Basically,
yeah, man, it
could be internet.
It was unfortunate to see. Yeah, I think I caught like the tail end of their last like Slayer game, and it wasn't too far off. I don't think in score, so I don't think it was, you know, a crazy sweep. At least not on the Slayer aspect. But I'll be curious to see them bounce back in the next open bracket, hopefully, and make a run because I've really ever since Raleigh, when I bumped into Flamesword, he's a really cool dude. So, I think
yeah, he's
Super nice dude.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude. So I'm hoping the best for them. I'd love to see them in a more pro series. But yeah, that was it for, I guess, the Halo aspect of things. We are currently on, I'm looking at my timestamp now, we're an hour and 20 minutes. So
that's how it goes.
We are definitely running out of time here. Before we go real quick, I wanted to share, since it's, I think, I want to think going forward, maybe at the top of the month, kind of just spurting off the upcoming games for this month, just so we have an idea of what to expect.
Let's see. Shall we go ahead and go through this month, even though it is 2 weeks into the month?
Yeah. Yeah, we might as well.
Basically, what I like to do is I post this in the Discord under an announcement channel. I don't think it's edible or editable. Yeah, editable. I don't even think that's a word.
Probably not.
You can't make revisions to it if you're a regular member. So it's an announcement board. But basically what's going on for PlayStation, PS4, and PS5, you have Rainbow Six Extraction coming out January 20th. Uncharted, Legacy of Thieves Collections coming out on the 28th. Yep. Nintendo Switch has Astroneers, Pokemon Legends coming out, and Cricket 22, if you're a big cricket fan. That's super popular in the world. Again, Rainbow Six Extraction's coming out on the Xbox One and Series X or S. And that's really it for the consoles. And for PC, you have Madison, Monster Hunter Rise, God of War, which is pretty interesting.
Mm.
Expedition to Rome, which I've heard is actually pretty good. It looks really good. And then also Rainbow Six Extraction and Hometopia.
Yeah.
So plenty of games coming out. Not as much as like December or November when you get those final quarter games coming out.
But yeah, definitely. January is always kind of the dry month, right? I think for the most part.
Typically. Because what you have is you know this because you work in developing, is everything gets rushed out the door in December before the new year.
Yep.
So what they try to do is just go, 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 go. And when everybody comes back in January, everything's kind of like, let's prepare for the year, the quarter. What are we doing? Where are we taking the mission, you know?
Yeah.
And
I want to say like most... A lot of like big titles, especially when the new year turns, is like kind of February is a pretty hot month. I've noticed like February, sometimes March.
February is where they announce a lot of them.
Yeah, and there's certainly some stuff coming out next month for sure. But interesting to see. I mean, I think out of this list, personally for me, Rainbow Six Extraction I might check out. I loved Rainbow Six for a little while, so I may see what the new mode's about. God of War on PC is definitely interesting. I played that last year on PS4 and I really enjoyed it. But you know, with PC and all the bells and whistles,
I've never played God of War. So when I'm not competing in Halo, I'm playing that.
Sure. It's great, man. I think you'll like it.
I love Greek mythology, so I'm gonna be all about that life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Good game. Well, yeah, I think that does it. I don't have too much else to talk about this week, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, we talked plenty, but about certain topics.
Yeah.
Not a ton of topics in a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I suppose this has been a wrap-up of, we're going to call this Season 3, Episode 1, with two hosts instead of the one. We got Mr. Kyle Heath and Mad Mike. You can find me on any social with Mad Mike Will Eat You. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, whatever. You Google it, you'll find it. And Kyle, you want to go ahead and give out your handles?
Yeah, I am pretty much at Mr. JK Heath on everything, with the exception of Twitch, because on Twitch I am at Kyle Heath, my actual name. And yeah, you can pretty much find me. I mean, just Google Mr. JK Heath. Although YouTube, I think I changed recently. That's probably Kyle Heath now, I think.
I believe it is.
So
yes,
YouTube and Twitch is Kyle Heath, but everywhere else is Mr. JK Heath.
Perfect. So I guess we'll sign off now, and we'll bring in another episode next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike.
Of course, man. Welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be here.